that without your grace and your mercy, nothing that's going to be said or nothing that's going to be received is going to be of any use without your love. Amen. So we look to you to have your way in this little study, that the name of Jesus would be magnified and that our hearts would be stirred. Lord, have your way. We'll thank you for it now, and we can't wait to thank you in the soon coming day, and we hope it's today. In Jesus' name, amen. So, you know, when I was growing up and a young teenager, we used to have this saying. We used to use this word. It was called rap. Now, before anybody's head gets all stirred up, it wasn't about the rap, so-called rap music that they have today. It wasn't about rapping presents. A rap was a time when you were young. And let me say this first. I grew up with three sisters. I didn't have any brothers. And that's kind of like the story of my family. In every family, the ratio is 3 to 1 women to men. So I grew up around a lot of women. But as a young man, one of the things, and I was the third, so 1, 2, 3, 4, Wanda and Gloria were older than I, and Sandy was the baby. You know, you want to grow up and be the guy in the house, you know, the man in the block. And so we learned different things, how to exist, and one of the things that was always evident was we had to learn as a young man, we thought we did, how to rap. And what rapping was to successfully sweet talk a girl. And you learn all the different ways to do that, all the different things to say, how to look, how to walk, how to talk. And the way that you learned or you felt that you were successful was a rap would end with a kiss. If you didn't get that kiss, it was not a successful rap. So I said that to say this. There is a verse. You find it in the Song of Solomon, the second chapter, or the first chapter, the second verse. It says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. In Strong's Concordance, Hebrews 54:01, that word kiss means to equip with weapons. And mouth always speaks of the word of God. So I guess I could rightfully say this. In Song of Solomon, first chapter, second verse, I could say, let him arm me with the armament of his word. So why was I talking about rap earlier? Well, I'll get to that. One of the things that we hear, I've heard from a lot of saints, especially after they've heard the truth of the bridal calling, is why did he pick me? Why do I stand out? Well, I think he covers that. In the second chapter, in the second verse of Song of Solomon, he says, as the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. That's why me. That's the way he sees her. Now, that's one thing that we have to get straight. It's not how we see ourselves, but how does he see us? That's the most important part. Now, we know that we love him because he first loved us, but he sees us a certain way. In the fourth chapter of the Song of Solomon, it says, verse 11, thy lips, O my spouse, drop as the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under thy tongue. Now, we know that you cannot feed honey to babies. They just, their system couldn't handle it. So that's why we give them milk. But he says honey and milk are under their tongue. So that's the way he sees her. In other words, he sees her grown. He sees a bride already. He sees her grown, able to feed the mature and the babies. She's able to do that. And I like something else that he says about her, and that's verse 3 of the fourth chapter. He says, thy lips are like a thread of scarlet. That word scarlet speaks of kindness. And that's one thing we try to emphasize to one another and treat one another with, and that is kindness. So the important thing I'm trying to bring out right here is that that's the way he already sees her. So when did he see her like that? I mean, not recently, not when I first walked through the door. How about before the foundation of the world? He already saw her this way. That's the way he sees her. Now, I don't know how you see yourself, but that's the way he sees you. He sees the completed work. And this time we're spending now is growing up into that. But that's how he sees her. Now, I remember growing up again and rapping again. There's that part we called the chase. Sometimes people have called it a courtship. Well, here's something interesting, I thought. Jesus doesn't court us. Last Sunday, we had a good message given by our pastor, and he brought out four women who Jesus was a type of, if you want to call it courting, I wouldn't call it courting. He went after them. And that was Ruth. That's where Boaz said, she's mine. She can't glean anywhere else. Put her in my field. Then there was Esther. Ahasuerus said, I want her. Amen. I see all these beautiful women, but I want her. Then there was Bathsheba. Well, you know David and Bathsheba. I've got to have her. This one glance. I've got to have her. Then there was Rebecca. Well, the servant went to Rebecca. She was the only one at the well. And he said, you're the one. Will you go? See, he does not waste time with, I guess you would say, perfumes or colognes. He comes after us full force. When he comes after us, he has one intention. My bride. That's his purpose, coming after us. So how do we respond? How do we respond to that? Well, let's see. In the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 44. He says, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now, in spite of what everyone may think, no one goes after God. No one seeks God at any time. You find that statement in Romans 3:11. No one seeks after God. If God didn't come for us, we would never show up. We wouldn't come to him if he didn't come after us. So some might say, well, yes, I would. I've always wanted God. I chased him my whole life. Come on. You know that's not true. Matter of fact, Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. So how do we get together? How do we get together with him? Well, he influenced us. We started hearing things like, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I will always be with you. Well, then how did we get him? Well, like I said, he already wanted us from the beginning. Let's take a closer look at how he felt. In the fourth chapter, again, of Song of Solomon, he says this, "Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove eyes within thy locks. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilead. Thy teeth are like a flock of sheep that are even shorn, which came up from the washing, whereof everyone bears twins, and none is barren among them. Thy lips are like a thread of scarlet, and thy speech is comely. Thy temples are like a piece of pomegranate within thy locks. Thy neck is like the tower of David, builded for an armory, whereon there hang 1,000 bucklers, all shields of mighty men. Thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins, which feed among the lilies. Until the daybreak and the shadows flee away, I will get thee to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee." So the question, what does she do to get him? She already had him. From the beginning of the foundation of the world, she already had him. Is this you? Do you recognize that he already wants you and that there's nothing that you can do or improve to get him? You already have him. So back to what I was saying about rapping. The object of rapping is to get that first kiss. Now the first kiss is like springtime. Some have said the first kiss is as a burst of adrenaline. It's a fight or flight chemical which increases your heart rate and your blood levels. In other words, it is the beginning of first love. I remember when I first started reading my Bible, and I just couldn't get enough of it. I literally would stay up from night to morning, in other words, all night. I had to read my Bible. I could not put it down. And that reminds me of Psalm 42:1. "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God." Thirsty for God. I couldn't get enough. I couldn't put this book down. I was thirsty. I read all night. And that led to daily study. I call them tender kisses. That led to prayer. That also led to fellowship. Pretty soon I could not forsake the assembling of myself together with the other saints. Because when I was among them, there was always some word that was said, or song sang, some kind of thing, or bringing forth of the word of God that stirred me. It was more fellowship. And if I wasn't there, I would have missed it. So that was stirring me up. So speaking of kisses, there are kisses along the way. Of course, the first kiss would have to be John 3:16. That's when he first hooked us. And you know, as a couple, as two lovers, there are kisses in between that time. But that next real passionate kiss, you'd have to say, was Acts 2:4. That's when you were filled with the Holy Spirit. That's where things really started to heat up. Understanding became clearer and clearer. You wanted him more. Couldn't stop spending time with him. Couldn't stop talking about him to everybody. Family, friends, workmates. And pretty soon, people were giving you pushback. "Is that all you want to talk about? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus?" Of course. What else is there to talk about? But have you ever made yourself unavailable to him, especially at the beginning? You said, Well, the Bible says, if I suffer with him, I'll rule with him. You say, I suffered enough already. I need a break from him. You ever regret not making a stand or taking advantage of an opportunity to witness? And you say, I should have said this, or I should have done that. Maybe you found yourself in a little self-doubt. Timothy found himself in that situation. What did Paul do? Timothy, stir up the gift. Get up. It's time to go. You're in a race. Do you ever need to remind yourself where you're seated right now? You know, we're expecting Jesus to come really before I finish. And he's made certain promises to us. You'll find in 2 Corinthians 11:2 that we have been espoused to Christ. That word espoused means to betroth. It means to promise to marry, to woo, to gain the favor of, to marry. So you have the beginning of the race, the espousal. And you know, every race has to have a conclusion. And that conclusion, the ending of that race, you can see it down the road where it says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. So between that espousal and that wedding feast, there's the race is going on. So 2 Corinthians 12:10 is a picture of the battle or the race. And let me ask you while I'm turning there, have you ever found yourself in one of these situations? Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then am I strong. You ever been in one of those situations? We all have. We all have. So as the battle goes on, we draw closer to our lover. We're always in a fight. That's when the enemy comes in like a flood. When that happens, the Bible says the Lord will raise up a standard against him. In Strong's Hebrews 52:47, that word standard means to put to flight. So as long as we are in this flesh, we will find ourselves in a battle. But that's the time to draw closer to our lover. In this battle, it will go on, but we are learning. And have you ever had to fight for this love? And yet he keeps on showering you with more and more love. Matthew 6:21 says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That's an easy question. Where is your heart now? So we have a battle. We're in a fight constantly. So as we're in this battle, we find out about the weapons of our warfare, which we know are not carnal, but mighty through God through the pulling down of strongholds. So how do we fight? Well, as Lynn just mentioned, we have the sword of the Spirit. And let's take a look at that sword in Hebrews 4th chapter, 4:12. It says, for the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner and of the thoughts and intents of the heart. But what good is a sword if you don't know how to use it? Go down to 5th chapter of Hebrews, 14th verse. One word we always hear around here is strong meat. And that's what I mentioned before about the honey. That's for strong meat is for those who are able to digest it, for mature saints. And he says in Hebrews 5:14, but strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, that's the word of God. So my question is, can you imagine having a weapon in a battle and not using it? Why have it? So we have to sharpen our sword. How do we do that? Bible study, prayer, against gathering ourselves together with other saints, spending time with Jesus. That's how we sharpen our weapon. 1 Samuel 13:19. Before I do that, let me go to Psalms 18:34. That's where he trains our hands for war, teaches us how to fight. It's one thing to have a weapon, a ready weapon, and not know how to use it. He teaches us how to do that. 1 Samuel, 13th chapter. Says this about the children of Israel. Now there was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel, for the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make them swords or spears. In other words, there was no smithy. Smithy is just a short name for blacksmith. I think we have a pretty good smithy here. But the true smithy, the true blacksmith is the Apostle Paul. He gives us weapons to use, teaches us how to use them. So what would he say about our situation? Well, Romans the 13th chapter. Verse 11. And that knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now it is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. In other words, stay alert, stay on guard. He asked this question once. The Lord said, lovest thou me more than these? Now that word these can be anything. Anything that's put above looking for the Lord to come back. These. Lovest thou more than these? The church of Ephesus in the book of Revelation was a perfect church. Perfect. It was ready. But there was one thing that they had against, that the Lord had against them. He said, you left your first love. It was a these. Now, we don't know what a these is. Only you can truly answer that question. Lovest thou me more than these? Or do we just talk a good game? Is there anyone in here that could not quote John 3:16 or Romans 8:28? How about Galatians 2:20? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, not I. Do we eat? We talk a lot about the little table for two here. Do we eat at that little table with the Lord, or are we too busy looking around to see what everyone else is doing. It's a little table. It's one of them kind of tables where if you're sitting across from it, you can't help but look into their eyes. They're right there. It's a table of shewbread, a place of intimacy. Do you say to the Lord, O God, thou art my God, and mean it? Psalms 34:1 says, I will bless the Lord continually. His praise will always be in my mouth. 1 Peter 3:15. Is this what you say about yourself? Or is said about you? But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you the reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. You remember the time when Joshua and Caleb and those other 10 spies went into the land, and the 10 spies came back and said, we're not going back in there. They're too big. They're too strong. They're too much of this and too much of that. Joshua and Caleb said, what are you talking about? We are well able to take these guys. They can't stop us. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You ever heard that one? So have you learned to enjoy the sweet kisses of the Lord yet? So in closing, 1 Samuel. Third chapter. Verse 21. It says, this is 1 Samuel 3:21, and the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. The word Shiloh means rest. Can I show you where Shiloh is at? Shiloh. Here's Shiloh. So I guess the question is, or the final question is, will you receive his kisses today? Starting this morning, you receive nothing but kisses. He's been loving you up all day long. Question is, will you receive them? So I thank you for your time.